Welcome to Kick Back with Chris. Kick Back with Chris, the martial arts podcast.
Brought to you by www.mitmaster.com.
So it's Tuesday again. That week's gone very quick. Anybody would think I've been busy. But joining me again, as always, on a Tuesday. Well, not always, when one of us remembers.
Yes.
It's Mr. Matthew Chapman.
You did send me a reminder message earlier on. It's Tuesday, and that I should be here. So I'm here.
That was as much for you as it was for me, though, to be fair. I think we've both reached a point in life now where we can quite easily forget what day it is.
Yeah, that's true.
Go out, go upstairs to get something, and then go, what have I come up here for?
It's all good fun, eh? It's good fun.
For the most part, yeah. Except for when you like really do genuinely forget what you're doing and then think, why is this happening to me?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be the several decades of kicks in the head, probably catching up with me. But
probably, mate, probably.
Yeah. But anyway, how are you doing? What's good? What's new? And
oh, been doing a lot of going to like speaking events and presentations recently. I went to Stephen Bartlett last week, which was very good. He did a show in London about business and life.
Looking at it now.
That was good. Yeah, really good. Like a nice presentation, a good mixture of visuals and multimedia and his insights and stuff.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah. Dragon's Den dude.
Yeah.
Kind of marketer dude.
I've seen him on YouTube and stuff as well. He does like,
yeah,
he's got his own stuff on. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, he's got his own podcast, isn't he? Obviously.
Yeah, that's right.
Diary of a CEO, which is massive. So that was good. You know, his story of coming from stealing frozen pizzas in Moss Side and 10 years later selling his business for like 300 million is pretty crazy, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'd say that is. I'd say that is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I have hope yet then.
Yes, yes, that's right. Just got to find the right opportunity. So there was lots of useful tips in that, especially around the idea of skill stacking, which I hadn't really heard of before, which is the idea that in an industry, everyone has the same skills, right? You know, in the martial arts industry, everyone kicks and punches well and teaches a good class. And what skill could you stack that isn't obvious? So, you know, most martial artists might look at doing some other training, other martial arts or yoga or doing something like nutrition or become a PT. So it's very similar, the skill set. But what he's saying is you get more bang for your buck if you stack a skill that is rare in your industry or area with the skills that you already have. And using me as an example, but there's lots of examples, this is kind of how it worked out with me, because obviously being a full-time martial arts instructor for 20 odd years and learned a lot of stuff about online business, about marketing, about building websites, about technology. And that's a rare skill in our area. Like most martial artists are not great with tech. And that's allowed me to do all the stuff that I do nowadays by like learning a skill and using a skill that is rare in the industry has allowed me to stand out a little bit in that industry. So it was, that was really interesting. I was like, oh yeah, that does make sense. And then he gave a whole load of, explanations and examples of other people like Steve Jobs' skill stacks, you know, his ability to market and sell and his technological skills, along with like an obsession with design. So I was there going, oh, that's quite interesting actually, and what skill could I add to what I've already got to make myself stand out even more? And it's just relating it back to kind of martial arts instructors. It's like if you're just the general public looking at martial arts schools in your area, how do you stand out? Like, because they don't know the difference between Kung Fu and Thai boxing and Taekwondo.
No.
So they're just looking at all the websites or looking at all the Facebook pages or looking at all the content that's out there. And like, how do you make sure that you stand out in all of that? was an interesting idea that I got from Mr. Bartlett. Yeah, so
I'm liking it, because it does to me feel like it's changing. It's not necessarily, I suppose it is constantly changing, but evolving, maybe. How people choose you, basically.
Because
I think now, especially with social media, the way that people are accessing us, we tend to hear now when people come in, I saw you on Facebook, I saw you on Instagram, I saw this, and then, when you ask the question, how did you hear about us? Why did you pick us? Oh, yeah, we saw you on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's just more and more people saying that. And then I'm thinking, so then it must be a case of, well, we got to them first, and our timetable matched their timetable better.
or it might be that they saw your stuff and it resonated with them, you know, whatever you were talking about in the video, or whatever, you know, student you were celebrating, or whatever success story you were putting out there.
Yeah.
They must have gone, oh, that place looks fun or safe or, you know, challenging or whatever they're looking for. Mm. So you kind of attract people who like the type of stuff that you put out into the world. So that's the whole point. Like, every martial arts school can put out their own stuff in their own way, with their own message and their own voice, and just attract the right people in the local community who want that. And you're right, now you get this, don't you? See it on Facebook, like local Facebook groups. Does anyone know a good boxing club near me, a good dance club? It's like people won't even go to Google anymore to even just Google, because the amount of time it takes to type into Facebook, does anyone know where there's a good dance school in our town? You type the same thing into Google and it gives you the top ones straight away.
Yeah, and the thing is as well, nobody ever goes, I go to Bobby's martial arts center and it's really shit.
No, you only get,
nobody ever says that, do they?
So no. It's only, so part of the goal for like instructors should be that when people ask in your local Facebook groups and pages, does anyone know a good martial arts school that teaches kids, for example, like, you should be showing up multiple times in that post. And if you're not, you've got to be wondering, like, what's going on? Because when that used to happen in my area, we were one of the top recommendations straight away. So it is changing. Like, obviously, cool. You remember, Chris, the good old Yellow Pages days, right?
I actually do.
Yeah.
They were yellow as well.
Yeah. And big, right?
Not that little small book you can rip with one finger.
No. So back in the younger people on the call.
Younger people.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily. Probably even 20s or 30-year-olds maybe might not remember Yellow Pages. Yeah. This was one of the best ways of marketing in the local area, was to put your martial arts schools in the Yellow Pages, because it got delivered to every house in the local area. And, you know, if you could turn up at the top of the martial arts section, you would get calls. But that's gone, right?
I think it still exists. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's gone as a marketing method.
Yeah, you don't. It's no point. Maybe there is. I don't know. I don't actually remember the last time I picked one up and thought, oh, I'll look for a. I need a plumber. Where's my Yellow Pages? Where's my phone? There's a leak.
So it's changing. I enjoyed Bartlett's, and then he obviously went on in the second half of the show to talk about building out a team, and how that's probably the most important thing he does, and what he spends most of his time as a very successful business owner is building his team and looking after his team and supporting his team. And I just thought, that's not how it works in martial arts, is it? Really, we really don't generally put that much focus on building out the team.
That's very true. It's very true. It's an area I would need to work on for sure.
Yeah, well, most people do, I think. But if you look at other businesses when they start, like, they start with a team straight away.
True.
They literally, you know, get three or four people together, and then they get an admin person in, and they get a salesperson in, and they build a team right off the bat, but we kind of don't. We just do it all ourselves until we break and then realize we need a team.
Is that pride or is it expectation or is it
tradition?
What do you think it is?
Tradition.
Is it a thing? Is it a
thing? It's just how we
perceived
do it.
Perceived tradition, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like how our instructors did it, and so therefore we do it in a similar way. Yeah, so the whole team building thing was quite cool. And then the last thing he covered was, he covered quite a lot. It was about a 3-hour talk. It was good, though. Was about quitting and how important it is to quit. And he's got like this framework.
If any of my members are listening to this, ignore that.
It's not good to quit, yeah. But like the whole thing is, he's got this big framework, like what he calls a quitting framework, which is this flow chart of, you know, different options based on how you feel about what you're doing. And he said, you know, a lot of his success has come down to quitting the right things quickly rather than kind of hanging on to them.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, because I have been guilty of that in the past, thinking, this isn't working, but I'll give it another week.
Yeah, or month, or Why? 6 months. And the same goes for, like, staff. Like, I obviously speak to a lot of coaching clients, and they're often really stressed out with their staff, and their staff aren't doing what they want, but they don't do anything about it. They like give it a bit more time, and they give them a bit more half-ass training, and they like try and motivate them in different ways, but the reality is it's probably the wrong person.
Yeah, I've done that
in the job. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've done that. You know, they're really keen, and now they want to be here all the time, and it's great, and then you start giving them more responsibility, and you're like, this is going to implode.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe it'd be fine. Maybe, and then it implodes. Yeah. Like, why did I not do that?
You kind of know in your heart. Yeah, you do. Because we're nice people generally, and we want to help people. That's why we do this thing.
Yeah.
We keep people for too long. So that quitting framework could be applied in all sorts of, parts of the business. And I see this with people like running Facebook ads. Like I had a guy I spoke to about his Facebook ads. I said, so what have you done? Like, what have you done for your Facebook ads? He told me what he's done. I said, okay, so how much did you spend testing that? Like 100, 200 pounds? He went, no, £3,000. I was like, oh, and it didn't generate any leads. And he's like, no. And I'm like, dude, like, why did you just chuck all that money at? Like, it's not like you spend more with Facebook and Facebook likes you more and therefore shows your ad to more people. It's a robot, it's a machine, so it's not about like favors. So yeah, that would be an example of like, he should have had a test budget and quit earlier on the campaign that is obviously not working. So there's all sorts of applications for this idea of quitting on something that's not serving you and not helping you. So yeah, it was a good evening of education.
Well, I hope this continues to serve you, because I don't want you to quit.
No. I'm enjoying this. You know, I really enjoy this. This is a good part of my week. It's fun just chatting and talking about what you do. And then
is he
the bomb show? Yeah, I just gently moved into it. And so tonight I'm gonna this is my last show, I'm out.
Mic drop.
Yeah, I'm gone. Nah, don't worry. That was last Monday, and this Monday I went to Dr. DeMartini, who is a specialist in kind of human behavior. And to a talk of his. Never seen the guy before, heard a lot about him. And his talk was very, very good, really interesting, loads of useful stuff. And he told a story at the end of the kind of presentation about like the reason why you build a business or run a martial arts school or do all these things, and how sometimes you can get a bit separated from that or forget the original reason why. And he was talking about a guy who ran a massive paper company, like a multi £100 million paper company, and it wasn't doing well, and it had been in a bit of a slump for a long time. And he asked the owner why this was, and the owner gave him all sorts of kind of excuses about the economy and about competition and all of that. And he started to ask him a few questions about why he founded the business, and discovered that the guy had a really tough childhood, no money, you know, really, and went to a new school where he couldn't afford to buy paper for his books. Like, he couldn't afford to buy books. So he got there and, like, the teacher said, right, take out your writing pads. And he didn't have anything to write on. And he felt like the shame and, you know, like you do when you're a child about things that are relatively unimportant. But so he kind of in the back of my mind said, no one's ever going to feel that way anymore. I'm going to make sure that people can get paper and get pads for ridiculously great prices. And, you know, and that's why he originally set up the business. But 15 years down the line, when it was a multi, you know, million pound business, he'd kind of forgotten that and it got lost. So that was like a cool story, because I think for martial arts instructors, that's kind of can happen as well. We get set up our business because we want to help people and we love teaching, I think, and training. And then as you get bigger and bigger, all sorts of other things become more pressing, you know, like the admin, the management side of things, the dealing with team members and staff training and sorting problems and thinking, like, getting bigger and bigger spaces to teach out of, and buying your own space or leasing or renting, you know, like a big unit, and then having the pressure of getting enough students in to keep yourself in that unit. And that wasn't why a lot of us started. It was just because we liked training and teaching and helping people. So that was like I was thinking about like my journey from going from teaching a few people at the University of East London when I was a student all the way to like 400 member martial arts school. And I could see, yeah, I kind of lost, got a bit lost on the path at some point, like got too caught up in the numbers, especially I think in martial arts industry, it was terrible really for just easy. Choosing round numbers. Like,
yeah,
really I want easy. 150 students, I want 200 students, I want 300 students. And chasing that for no real reason other than it's just a nice number and it sounds good. And you can tell people at conferences you've got 400 members.
Magic bullet. I get, if I get 180 members, then I'll be sorted.
Yeah. And then you get there.
Why?
Why? And actually you find you're not sorted and that you have created a bigger business than you maybe wanted to or needed to, that you've got to keep kind of moving forward because you're reliant on it and your staff are reliant on it. So now you think, actually, I need probably 250 to be on the safe side. And the same thing happens. You get to that point. So that's kind of how it went for me, I think. Kind of lost why I'd started it and, you know, got a bit burnt out doing over teaching as well. You know, back in the day when I first started, I was teaching 2 or 3 hours a week and training myself every day, and that was wonderful. But by the time I'd kind of exited the business, I'd be teaching 20 hours a week and doing 20 hours a week of privates, and that was not a good combination. And I know instructors out there who do more than that. You know, there's some guys out there doing 60, 70 hours a week of teaching.
Yeah, it's easy to do. It catches up with you so quick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And suddenly you're like, yeah, you're not quite enjoying it as much as you were before. So that story, he told it really well, much better than I did, because he's obviously told it a few hundred times. But everyone was like, oh yeah, actually, like, why are we doing the things that we're currently doing? And, you know, so that was very cool as well. So 2 weeks of fun sort of learning and just doing something a bit different, because usually on a Monday night I get home and I sit and watch Netflix with the missus, which is good and all of that, depending on which series we choose.
Yeah.
But, you know, going into London and having some nice food with a mate of mine and watching Bartlett do his thing was great. And then going to this other one. So I'm kind of enjoying getting out there and learning some stuff.
Do you think you'll ever do something like that yourself?
What's that?
get up on a stage and enthrall people with your life journeys?
I don't really like doing it. It's.
I know you've done stuff before, haven't you? So it's
I've been asked to speak at a few events and stuff. And funnily enough, I'm being asked to go and present in Germany soon. So go to a business conference in Germany, which is kind of fun. But I really do it because I like helping people, and I do it because I don't enjoy it. And I think my life's a bit comfortable, really. I, you know, sit around in my pants, as you know, making videos and putting putting on the internet, and it's too comfortable. It's, you know, so I do these things because they're make me a bit nervous, a bit scary. Really? So yeah, speaking on a stage in front of 2,000, I think there's about 3,000 people at Bartlett's one, and presenting myself for 3 hours would be really nerve-wracking. But I'd do it just for the challenge.
Yeah. I suppose likewise, they might, you know, look at what you do and go, I couldn't put myself out like that with
I couldn't sit in my pants in front of my laptop for 6 hours a day editing videos. You must be crazy.
That's funny.
Yeah. So it was good, and I'm going to try and do more of that, because what I usually go to is like marketing conferences where people try to sell you shit at the end. And I've kind of got bored of those. I'd rather go to like interesting talks or interesting people who've got, you know, there's no sales pitch. There's no, you know, they're just there to share their story and deliver a bit of value. So I'll try and do as many of those as possible. But I thought those kind of lessons were good for instructors.
Definitely.
To think about.
Definitely. We should always be open to the idea of learning new stuff and thinking about that. You know, and critiquing what we're doing and, you know,
But it's a lonely old road being like the chief instructor in the martial arts school, isn't it? Because
definitely
everyone looks up to you. You haven't really got like people that you can chat to about the stresses of the running the business necessarily. Sometimes you haven't got the support that you need, and it's kind of feels like it's all on your shoulders. So it can be a bit of a tough place to be.
Double-edged sword as well, because you feel the expectation to be the martial arts instructor, but then you can end up sort of falling into that existence a little bit too much, and then I've had it before, and they're 2 minutes late again. Did they not know this disrespect? 2 minutes late. But, you know, in their world, they're running around like nutters trying to get the kids in to five different clubs, and
yeah,
you know, it's 2 minutes, you know, it's nothing.
Yeah,
but it's difficult, because you want to be seen to be doing right by your students, which means you should punish the ones that are 2 minutes late. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, they're paying you for a service, and you know, it's finding the balance. It's really hard.
Finding the balance, right? Yeah. Some people go hardcore. You're 2 minutes late. You're not coming in. That's it. You know. Yeah. And I know instructors like that. And other people, mainly jiu-jitsu instructors, are like, oh, you're half an hour late, no worries, just get on the mat and let's start rolling. It's just you basically got to build your business the way you want it, and maybe not how you think it should be or how you think perceive you'll be judged by others, and just actually build the business that you want. But that's sometimes easier said than done.
It is sometimes. I've had it before. I mean, COVID coming back from that was a massive reset button, and I fixed so many things I'd not been happy with for a very long time.
Yeah,
and I just used restrictions as an excuse.
Yeah,
it's like okay, never been happy with that, so let's get rid of it.
At least you've got a legit reason or a semi-legit reason, so people tend to accept it. But yeah, I think a lot of schools had that when they came back. They were like, it's a lot easier not having the parents in the room when I'm teaching the classes, on their phones chatting and not paying attention. So that's going to be the rule from now on. Other people have been desperate to get people back in because they like the interactivity of having the parents in. So it's all about just building the business that you want. And then I think just keeping that in mind as it gets bigger, and not losing that spark that started you off and fired you up and got you excited and passionate about martial arts, keeping that going, I think is key.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I had we've been doing a lot of pre-grading assessments, a lot of sitting down and writing things down. And generally speaking, in the run up to that, I'm like, oh, I get to have a sit down for a bit. This is going to be nice. And then 3 days into it, I'm like, oh God, could I just get up now, please? Yeah. And I had that opportunity tonight, and got up and taught a lesson, and I actually had a paid staff member in, and I'm like, nice, okay, it's cool. You just watch. I'm going to do this one.
Yeah.
And I loved it, and I got stuck in and had fun with the kids, and they all loved it. I was like, this is why I got into it.
Yeah.
You know, you can even see it in the parents' faces as well. It's like, oh, who's this guy?
He's all fired up.
Who is this guy? Like, what's going on here? But yeah, it's cool. It's constantly revisiting, going back to the why.
Yes.
I think that's a really important thing, because it is so easy. So easy to go down that rabbit hole, lose sight, and become so focused on 100 different things. You know, what was it that originally drew you to this?
And try and keep that spark and that flame going. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It is. It's true. Which actually uniquely brings me full circle back to my new podcast series that start on Friday. That segue has just been building up for 26 minutes.
You've done good.
We've strung that out for 26 minutes. This whole episode was just promo.
Just to mention your new,
But no, it does tie in actually, because for those that don't know, for somehow you've managed to miss this, I've got a new, I don't know what to say, mini series, or I don't even know how you describe it. It's like a standalone episode within the whole podcast brand, like the whole Kickback. And so Fight Scene Fridays, every other week, we're going to be, I don't know if this is the first actually, but it's an interactive podcast.
So meaning?
So what's going to happen is each episode, there's going to be a fight scene that we're going to break down. But rather than the listeners just listening to us talking about the fight scene, we're going to provide a link, whether it's YouTube, Vimeo, whatever, to the fight sequence, and then at a preset point in the podcast there'll be a countdown, so like a 3-2-1, and everybody, we press play, so there's two of us, myself and Martin, our respective ends of wherever we are, we press play at the same time, the listener presses play at the same time, and they watch along with us at the same time, so we're reacting to it.
Interesting. It.
And then once it finishes, what we're going to do is we're going to break the fight scene down, and we'll be able to say, okay, so if everybody goes to time code 2 minutes and 33 seconds, what you'll see there in that bottom right hand corner, you see that little yellow thing? That's a little crash map. They've not edited it out. That's why it's there. The reason that's there is because this, or we'll talk about a section of the fight, or that there's a wire, or there's a stunt double, or
brilliant.
The better to this, so we'll be able to reference it, so people will be able to see what we're talking about whilst listening.
Yeah, that's such a great idea.
We have but the reason I mentioned that again is the first fight scene we're going to do is a gang fight scene from a film called Rumble in the Bronx, a Jackie Chan film.
Yeah, great film.
1995. And the reason I picked this one, which ties into what we were talking about, that was my why. I saw that film. I wasn't training at the time, not officially. And I saw that film and I'm like, I want to get back into martial arts again. And I want to get into films. And I saw that film and then I went and found a local club, went for a trial lesson. And then here we are, however many years later, 1996 to 2024.
Yeah, there you go.
So I'd been training before, quit. Lost my way a little bit as a teenager, as we do. Saw that film and I thought, yeah, I want to jump through trolleys in Asda car park.
while kicking and punching people.
You might jumping off of fridges and doing all that. So, yeah, that was my why. So I occasionally will revisit that film just to, you know, this was the film that got my attention. And
yeah, brilliant.
Made me want to do this whole thing. Because, yeah, of course, as an impressionable 15-year-old, you think, that's how it is.
I can do that. Yeah, that looks easy.
Yeah, cool. Jump over buildings and... Yeah. So, thanks for that. You've just done it for me. Just...
I'm giving you a nice way to mention your new...
Yeah, that's amazing. It all ties in together nicely.
That's good.
We're going to be taking suggestions for... Yeah. People, you know, people have got fight scenes that they want us to do. Absolutely, send them.
Yeah, I want you to do the final fight scene in Roadhouse.
Do you know? I actually knew you were going to say that.
Of course. Because I love that film. I think most martial artists like that. The original, obviously. The new one's coming out this week, actually.
Is it this week?
Coming out tomorrow. Prime or Netflix or one of the other ones. So we could maybe do a comparison at some point between the two. But the whole throat rip scene, classic.
They I think people are deciding this new one's going to be bad before it's actually...
To be fair, I'm in that camp. I'm like, it can never be as good as...
No, as long as it doesn't try to be.
It's just a separate film, isn't it? So I'm going to watch it with a few beers and a bit of popcorn and then slag it off on Facebook.
Maybe have about five first and then watch it. Then it might be all right. Starring Conor McGregor as Conor McGregor. I mean...
Yeah, literally. What's the point? Like, where's the acting there? Like, crazy Irishman. Yeah, there you go.
So he's done three of the highest paid now, hasn't he? Obviously for fights. And is the highest paid debut actor.
Is he?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the obvious transition for him. I said, I think probably on the podcast 2 years ago, like McGregor should give up the fighting. He's so charismatic and, you know, he's got so much energy. He'd be great on screen and he could take his brand straight to becoming, you know, playing crazy Russian, you know, sidekick, or in this case, crazy Irish sidekick, and look where we are. So I'm glad he listened to me.
Yeah, it says here Conor McGregor claims he is the highest paid debut actor after Roadhouse role. So he's beaten The Rock.
Wow,
that position.
Wow. Okay.
And that, I mean, they'd be crazy not. I mean, I think, to be fair, the amount of people that will watch it because they hate him and want to hate it, or like him and want to like it, or are just curious.
I mean, fair. He's a great fighter, so the fight scene should be good because he is talented. McGregor.
Conor McGregor reveals he's the top paid first time actor in Hollywood after claiming he raked in over £4 million for his debut screen performance.
Not too shabby.
I know. So he's getting paid $4 million to do pretend fighting. Why would you want to do actual fighting?
That's the whole point. And he's got his own trailer and he's got his own massage therapist and people bring him whiskey and stuff. He's
in his own whiskey,
isn't he? Yeah, his own whiskey, obviously.
They're probably buying it in.
he's got it sorted.
Wow, that's crazy.
Another crazy success story, right? Being on the dole in Ireland, like,
yeah,
you know, 10 years ago, now got a couple of $100 million in the bank and now is moving into Hollywood. Crazy.
You know, I think realistically, the only time we're going to see him fighting now is some of the, you know, one of these sort of crazy crossover.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if we see him in the ring with like the likes of Tommy Fury, stuff like that. It would not surprise me. Because he can make more money doing that.
Yeah, but if he's fought Mayweather, like, Fury is a massive step down. Tommy Fury is a massive
step
down.
Yeah, but there's the whole internet feud story thing.
Yeah.
Whip it up and, you know, they can... I mean, who'd have thought freaking Jake Paul would be fighting Mike Tyson? Well, not fighting.
Yeah, true.
They're not fighting, are they? They're not fighting. There's no way they're fighting.
Well, Mike Tyson might start fighting if he gets hit.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, he does look rather beastly in these training videos he's putting out.
He's the scariest 57-year-old you could ever imagine.
I swear to God, I won't go near him as a 7-year-old. No. Dude's a scary man. He's just walking war.
Yep.
But at the same time, he is nearly 60, and you know, we all know that, taking nothing away from the training that he's doing right now, that type of training on the pads is not sustained over multiple rounds, you know, and Jake Paul is the big guy and he's more than half his age. And it's not like he's sitting around playing Call of Duty. I mean, the guy's got top trainers. You know, he's doing it properly. And I was talking to somebody earlier on. I know, like, Tommy Fury's no, like, top-level boxer, but he's professional. And he's, you know, and they went the distance. He, you know, they didn't look stupid. But let's say it is a fight. So no win for him, really, isn't it, Jake Paul?
I mean,
he wins and he's beaten a 60-year-old, or he loses and he's been beaten by a 60-year-old.
Yeah, but you don't know how this guy's brain works. It's probably wired a bit different. So I think he'll be happy either way, you know.
I tell you what, it'll be wired differently if he catches one of them fucking hooks, I swear to God.
Yeah, yeah, true enough.
They'll be getting wired back together, let alone... Jesus. It's weird, though, but it's crazy how it's going.
Yeah, I mean,
it's entertainment, only, isn't it now?
It's always been entertainment, but...
Oh, definitely. It's more like a show now than it's ever been.
Yes.
I mean, it's... Yeah, it's all changing, isn't it?
It'll swing back, I think, back to eventually, once we have some ridiculous fights, it'll swing back to people just wanting to watch the pros do it. But right now, yeah...
There'll be... I mean, it could be this. Could you imagine that? I mean, the hype train is building up, and then it's on Netflix of all things as well. I mean, that says it all. It's on Netflix. Yeah. Could you imagine if one of the two of them walks out and within 3 seconds, one of them's sleeping on the... I mean, that would be like, okay, now we need to move on from this now. We need to...
No more of this. Yeah.
No more. All jokes aside, someone gets hurt. I mean, that's...
Yeah,
it's dangerous. And I'm just looking at pictures of McGregor in this film. Jesus, he's massive.
Yeah, he took all the special potions and pills, didn't he?
To get his Lucas Aids and Weetabix.
Yeah, he's like, he's been working out, you could say. He looks massive. Yeah, very pumped up.
He's not fighting again, is he? Let's be honest. I don't think he is.
Well, why would he want to when you can earn that and just, you know, be adored for being, you know, an actor? Why do you want to get kicked and punched by crazy people who want to hurt you?
Come out of retirement every few years, do an exhibition bout
with
some bizarre type, and then go back to
it. And then go back to the movies.
Definitely. Definitely. Anyway, we better stop.
I'll let you... I think it comes out tomorrow, so I'll message you once I've watched it.
I won't have watched it.
Hey,
I'll watch it. I'll do what I do with everything. I put it on a watch list, like a watch later list, and then 2 years later, it's still there. Actually got around to watching it. But I'll watch the original.
Yes, yes.
Then I'll watch the new one.
Good. Okay, I'll give you
It's been a long time since I've watched the first one, like the first one, the original.
Yeah,
I don't remember when I last watched it, to be honest.
Oh, dude, really?
I wonder if it's aged as well as...
I think I watched it about... I think I must watch it every sort of three or four
Wednesday.
Months. Yeah. It pops up on like Sky and it's like halfway through and I'm like, damn it! So I'm going to watch the end of it. But yeah, I must watch it every 6 months or so, probably.
Really?
Yeah, but not because I'm actually sitting down for a night of Roadhouse. It's more about... I see it on the Sky thing and I'm like, it's only 10 minutes in. I might as well revisit the classic, I think.
Well, there's certain films where you catch it on like the back end on Channel 5 and it's like you Kickboxer, Bloodsport, things like that. You've got to watch it, even though you've seen it 800 times. It's like,
That's right.
You know, your missus is like, right, I'm going to bed. It's like, oh, no, I've got to watch this.
Yeah.
If you've seen it before, I know, but I can't not watch
it. It's a classic. Yeah.
This is the best bit.
I think Roadhouse is firmly in the classics collection.
Right, I'm going to go and find it now.
All right, good. All right, cool.
Well,
that's my
note,
request for your fight scene anyway, so the fight on the beach at the end.
Okay. I'm going to make a note of that now.
Thank you.
So that people can hold me to it.
Good. Excellent. I will.
What if I'm not nice about it?
That's fine. I don't mind. It's okay.
Yes, you will. You'll cry.
Might do, but secretly.
In your pants.
Right, in my pants, yeah.
That's the episode title there.
Crying in your pants.
Crying in your pants. Oh, dear, that'll confuse people. Right. Good pleasure as always. And
Thanks, catch you
next week, dude.
We'll do. See ya.
Bye.
Support our podcast by making your Art Marshall orders via the link in our show notes. Art Marshall.
Art Marshall.
Streetwear inspired by martial arts culture.
Hey, everybody. So, as you all know, this week I launched a Patreon, a brand new Patreon page for the podcast, and the response has been absolutely fantastic. Now, one of the things that I did say was that anybody that pledged the £2 a month, I would mention your names in the podcast. Now, it's fair to say that I might need to review this, but a man of my word, I am going to do it for this episode. I absolutely am. Okay, so in no particular order, well, actually, it is a particular order. It's the order that is listed on the screen in front of me. And I'm not going to try and mix it up because my head will explode. Anyway, so big thank you goes out to Simon Wales, Claire King, Phil S, Paul MacArthur, Daniel David Thomas, Mark Davies, and Baz. And also, a big thanks goes to all the other patrons, and indeed, all of our listeners everywhere, everybody that supports us. We've got a lot going on with the podcast in a minute. It's really, really positive. Lots of new things going on. As I say, I might need to review the whole reading names thing. But it's super cool that I've got loads of names to read out. I really do appreciate your support, guys. I don't think I missed anybody out. It's 10:41 p.m. here right now. I'm absolutely shattered. It's been a crazy day. But I did want to get that in at the end of the episode as an extra after Matt's call. So yeah, thank you everybody for being involved, for trusting me, invested in the podcast, and onwards and upwards, guys.
Brought to you by Martialytics. Easy to use, super powerful management software for your martial arts school.